The last few weeks we have spoken to the church, looked at what Scripture says about us as a church and what our responses ought to be to our builder, who is Christ. And then we had revival services challenging the church, and this week I want to look at the church again, combining it with dedication of the children. And do that by going to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Some of you will notice this is the account of Hannah and the birth of a son. And I've always been intrigued with this account and this passage of Scripture and the ones that follow regarding Samuel's beginnings. His mother was a woman of faith and was a woman who trusted God. She was a woman who held tight her devotion to the Lord. And we're going to examine that this morning and hopefully examine ourselves in light of that truth. So let's stand. We're going to begin with reading 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, and then we'll jump to some other verses in the chapter, so bear with me. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9, "Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. And she, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she made a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head.'" And then down in verse 19, "She rose early in the morning, worshipped before the Lord, and returned again to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah had relations with Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And it came about in due time, after Hannah had conceived, that she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, 'Because I have asked him of the Lord.'" Now down to verse 24. "When she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with a three-year-old bull, one ephah of flour, and a jug of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, although the child was young. When they slaughtered the bull, then they slaughtered the bull and brought the boy to Eli. And she said, 'O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition which I asked of him. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord.' And he worshiped the Lord there." That is, Samuel worshiped the Lord there. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you so much for the great privilege of being in a church family. We thank you for the ways that you constantly are providing for our needs. Father, as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, as we celebrate birth, as we bear news that's difficult, as we recover, Father, all of these things, we can look to you and say thank you for your provision. You are faithful to walk with us through every account of life. And Father God, your call upon our life is that we just simply trust you and walk with you as you desire to impact our lives in very special ways. Father, may we hear you speak into our lives this morning. As we look into the life of this servant of yours who dedicated not only her child but herself, Father God, teach us. In the name of Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. This is one of several accounts in Scripture where you have a woman who is barren, desiring to have a child. In the Jewish custom, it was such that the Jewish woman desired to bear a son for her husband to carry on the family name. It was thought that to not be able to bring forth a child was evidence of a lack of favor from God. And so there was a spiritual part to it, and then there was a personal part to it, your worth, your self-worth, and adequacy, and all of those things come into play when you're not able to bear a child. And I'm sure that Hannah was experiencing all of these elements as she found herself without child. And then to top it all off, Elkanah, her husband, had another wife who was fruitful and bearing children to him left and right, and then arrogantly taunting her with that fact. I call them rivals, even though they are fellow wives. But Hannah was oppressed in her circumstances. She felt like the Lord had forgotten, perhaps, for a period of time. But she didn't give up hope because she continued to worship. We find in the text, and in the context of the text, Elkanah was faithful to every year go and worship the Lord in Shiloh and to bring his family with him. And his family was being led by this man of God to come and be in the presence of God and to bring petitions, to bring offerings. And here is where Hannah found herself, through the leadership of a godly husband, his faithfulness to the Lord to bring his family. One wife who was fruitful had many children, the other wife who was barren. And we get from the text that Elkanah loves Hannah, truly loves Hannah, maybe even more than Peninnah, the other wife. He grants her more in portions when things are given to the wives. He loves her. And she desperately wants to be able to return something back to him. And so she longs for a child. She comes to this time of worship, and we find that the only thing she was left to do was to be able to pray. And to leave her petition before the Lord with great trust that he would answer that petition according to his perfect will. We find here that upon one of those worship experiences, Hannah rose after eating and drinking. Eli the priest was nearby, looking in as she was praying. The scripture tells us, down in verse 12 and 13, that she was praying, and as she was praying fervently, her mouth was moving, but there was no sound. The priest, observing, thought that perhaps she was drunk, even verbally accused her of such. "You've had too much wine at dinner before you came to worship. How dare you?" But her plea back to him was, "No, Lord, I'm praying. I'm praying to God for a son. And I know that he's going to hear me." We find this was a special prayer time because verse 18 reveals that she went away, and we didn't read this, but she went away and ate, and her face was no longer sad, whereas before she maybe had an upset stomach. You know how you get when you get upset and you're not really hungry. But after her prayer time, she was ready to eat. And her face was not sad any longer. Scripture tells us that when our hearts are at joy and peace with God, our faces will show it. Some of us need some peace and joy. Because when the heart is content with God, the face will reveal it. And here we find that Hannah walked away from this prayer time, this time of devotion before the Lord, and her face was no longer sad. It's like she had a little skip in her step. Verse 19 says, "They rose up early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord." She was agreeable to worship. She had prayed to the Lord, and she had left her petition there. The New Testament tells us to pray. The Apostle Paul says, pray without ceasing. Be of an attitude of prayer. You can be sure that Hannah didn't just pray in the temple and then walk out and forget about it. She continued to petition the Lord in her quiet times and in her daily activities. She continued to lift up that request before the Lord. Very special that it would impact her life in such a way that she would go from that prayer time with that contentment. And maybe it's perhaps because she prayed with great faith that she believed what she was praying to be what was the desire of the Lord. Scripture again in the Psalms tells us, delight yourself in the Lord and He'll grant you the desires of your heart. If we are delighting ourselves in God's will and His purpose and His plan, then we will find ourselves being at peace with Him. And we'll find that as the Lord works things out for our good, that they're the very things that we want for us as well. James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8 in the New Testament gives us an insight. Allow me to find that book and that word there. Chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach or without making fun of, it'll be given to him. Let him ask in faith without doubting, because the one who doubts is like surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man expect that he'll receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Hannah came believing. She came praying the Lord without doubt in her heart. She trusted that the Lord would honor her request, and she left it there. Later in the book of James, chapter 4, the apostle writes, "You do not have because you don't ask. You do not ask and not receive because you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so you can spend it on your pleasures." Our prayer time is so crucial. What we want and what God wants sometimes will not line up. That's not good news for all of us. Sometimes what we long for and desire may not be exactly what fits in with the program of God. But we must trust that God has the best plan possible. Here we find that Hannah left her petition before the Lord. She humbled herself before the Lord. She knew that He was a rewarder of those who trust Him. At just the right time, He'll provide. She basically obeyed a New Testament command that we find in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. The apostle wrote these words, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the right time, casting all your anxiety upon Him, because He cares for you." Hannah was exercising that very principle in the Old Testament days, where she trusted the Lord. She humbled herself before His will and His desire. She trusted that at the right time He would give the answer that would benefit His kingdom, would benefit His good name. So she cast all that care upon Him, lost her anxiety, and went away no longer sad, and waited for the Lord to exalt her at the appropriate time. I like that verse 20 of our account reveals that it came about in due time. God has a timetable. The timetable's not ours. It is His. It is a divine timetable that only He sometimes can comprehend. He oftentimes lets us in on it, but sometimes we're not given that. We're just called to trust Him, to live by faith and not by sight. Hannah trusted God with that petition, became evident on her face. I imagine it became evident in her behavior as well. When you look back at verse 11 with me, Hannah's request, "Lord God, remember me. Lord, look on my affliction, remember me. Don't forget me." I love that God remembered Hannah. He remembered her hardship. He remembered that she was in need. He remembered that she had left petition there. It's much the same as Noah, when God called him to build an ark out in the middle of the desert because it was going to rain and bring a flood upon the whole world. And not really comprehending all of that, he did what he was told to do. God moved him to build that ark. It flooded. It rained for 40 days, 40 nights. The waters were sustained for a period of 150 days. Listen, that's 5 months. 150 days, the waters stayed the same. And the scripture eventually says that God remembered Noah, and the waters began receding, and the ark settled, and they were able to get out. God remembers. When we bring petitions to Him, when we serve Him faithfully and we walk where He calls us to walk, He remembers. He does not forget, and that's exactly what we found here. She said, "Remember me and do not forget." The Lord remembered her. They went home. Verse 19 says that Elkanah had relations with his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, she conceived. She not only gave birth to a child, she gave birth to a son, just as she has specifically asked. And we might think this just refers to a woman's desire to have a child, but God's overall plan was so much different. He even moved Hannah's heart to agree with Him that this child would not just be a blessed child and be in her home, but would be a child that would be dedicated to serve the Lord all the days of his life. Some of us might look at this picture and say, well, she weaned him, and then after weaning him, she took him to the temple and she left him there. Say, I could never do that with my child. Some of you have said to Laura and I could never let my child go all the way across the world and serve in a hostile nation. Some of you probably have your own situations where you're wondering, I could never do that kind of thing, or looking at someone else's life and thinking, man, I don't know. But Hannah trusted God with the whole deal, with the whole program, with her child. And that's what He calls us to. He calls us to dedicate. When we think of dedicating these children, yes, we're dedicating these children, but listen, we're dedicating ourselves. We're dedicating one another. We're holding each other accountable to be dedicated in such a way that we're going to let God have the glory in whatever it is and let Him accomplish His purposes, whatever it takes for us. Hannah was willing to do that. She laid it all on the line, and after the child was indeed weaned, she brought him. She brought him before the Lord, and she left him there in the temple. She gave him a name that says Samuel, God has heard, is the name of the child. Every time his name was said, there was a declaration that God hears. God is not deaf. She took that son to the temple. She worshiped the Lord there. We find that she brought her offering. She testified of God's goodness before the priest. She told Eli, remember that time I was in here praying and you thought I was drunk? I was asking the Lord for a son. This is the son, and guess what? I'm leaving him with you. Now you have responsibility to be sure to raise him right in this temple. Left him there to grow in the house of the Lord, to be of service, to be what God wanted him to be. If you move over to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 18 to 21, it's kind of crucial because some would say, well, that's just not a very nice picture. Samuel was ministering before the Lord as a boy. He wore a little linen ephod, and his mother would make him a little robe and bring it to him year to year when she would come with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. If you think she just forgot about her child, you're wrong. He was always on her heart. He was always going to be that special child to her. And she would even be busy investing in the very call that he had, making a robe for him, a priest's robe, so that he could minister in the way God had called him to. She never missed out on investing in her child or loving her child. When she would come with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice, she would see her child and watch him grow, the one that she had dedicated, and then she'd go back home. Verse 21 says, the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters as the boy Samuel grew before the Lord. Not only did Hannah receive a son that she would dedicate to the Lord God full time, she also received the blessing of having other children. I can tell you this, it doesn't say in the scripture, but she probably dedicated every one of them to the Lord. Each one had a special service to the Lord, may not have been to be in the temple, but she was sure to dedicate those children, all of them, to the Lord. That's what we're called to do, to dedicate our children to the Lord. You want to know how Laura and I could send our children across the world when they felt the impulse from God? Laura and I raised our children to listen to God speak into their hearts. And we trained them to listen to the Word, the truth of the Word. And when the Lord began to prompt their hearts that they had a heart for Muslims and that they had a heart to go and get the gospel to people who were dying, we couldn't argue with it. I'm not going to say we don't miss our children. I'm not going to say it's not anxious sometimes or we're not apprehensive when governments begin fighting and there's a danger that bombs and missiles could come flying over the borders and destroy our children. We're not saying that at all. But what we are saying is we know God has a purpose and a plan, and He's going to use those children because they're dedicated to Him. And you know what? I can live with that because this life on earth is about this big compared to eternity. And we'll get to spend the rest of eternity with them praising our God who had a perfect plan and put them in the right place at the right time. Don't really comprehend it and understand it myself, and so to try and explain where it might be understandable to all of you, maybe that's not working. But I know that when Scripture shows us a mother who's willing not only to dedicate her children, but look, she dedicated herself first, so that she could hear the Lord and know His will and then be in agreement with what God wanted to do, then she was able to dedicate her children. That's what He calls all of us to. Dedicate ourselves first. Then we'll be able to dedicate our loved ones, dedicate one another, dedicate collectively as a church to what God has called us to do. We heard during revival time, take on the full armor of God. All the aspects of that full armor. Put on Jesus and pray. Diligently seek Him and His will. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And if you don't know the Word of God, get into the Word of God. Find out what God has to say, what God's directions are. Probably one of the most common questions a pastor ever receives, and I have, is, I want to know what God's will is for me. Well, then get in the Scripture. That's what I have to do. It's no different for any of us. God will reveal what He wants us to do. When we get in His Word, He begins to share that with our hearts, and then we're prompted and we move in the right direction. That's how we walk away with a smile on our face. The Lord is showing us if we'll just be attentive to Him. So how do I do that? Humble yourself before His mighty hand. Trust that His hand is mighty and able and willing to do what it's going to take to glorify His own name, and be willing to agree with that for your life. I want God to be glorified. And if He's going to use me to do that, hallelujah. If He's going to use my children to do that, hallelujah. If He's going to use church members to do that, hallelujah. Let's see Him glorified. Let's commit ourselves under His mighty hand, that He may exalt at the right time those who have trusted Him. Cast all your care upon Him, all your anxiety, because He cares for you. He's a faithful God. He has proven in the past, and He will continue to do that. Listen, some in this place have trusted Jesus as Master, as your Savior. You've heeded His promptings. You've walked in the truth by the power of the Spirit. Continue to guard that which you've entrusted to Him. He can keep it, but we have responsibility to guard it. Make sure we find ourselves in a places where we can be fed and inspired and filled by the Spirit rather than being infected by what the world desires to pour out into our life and what the devil wants to do to inhibit what the Lord wants going on in our lives. Let's not allow that hindrance to take place. Let's guard it. Might be others you've allowed outside circumstances to divert you from what God has called you to do. Come back. There's nothing too bad. There's nothing you've done that's so bad that God can't forgive. Jesus died on the cross for you. You feel a conviction in your heart? Repent. Confess to Him. Come back to Him. That's why He died. So you could come back, be restored. And maybe some you have yet to surrender to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Maybe this talk about dedicating yourself is kind of falling on deaf ears, but first off, you need to have Jesus as Savior. Once you admit you're a sinner and allow the Christ to take care of your sin, your heart becomes different. Then you become attuned to what God wants. Until then, you're just wandering around out there. Jesus Christ came from heaven to die on a cross for each sinner. And then God was satisfied with everything Jesus did to take care of our sin, that he raised Jesus back to life. You know what that means? It's not a thing you and I can do about our salvation except to believe what God did through Christ. To just trust him. You don't have to walk on your hands and knees to come forward before us and go climb a mountain somewhere. You don't have to visit a holy land. All you have to do is trust what God did through Christ. And he'll give you a brand new heart. And when he gives you a brand new heart, you will know it. And then when he does that, hopefully you'll be so excited you'll want to share it with as many people as possible. And there may be some in this place. You have trusted Christ. You have given your life to him and allowed him to work in your life, but you haven't yet made it public. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father and the heavenly angels. But if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father and the angels in heaven. Every message comes with opportunity for response. If the Lord has spoken to your heart in some manner through the message, through song, through prayer time, through the dedication service, we do well to respond to him. I guarantee you that's what Hannah did. She responded to the Lord. It wasn't just her work in prayer. God put it on her heart to pray that prayer. She came, she prayed, and she trusted God with it, and he had his purposes accomplished. I'm pretty sure there's probably a lot of purposes he desires to accomplish in our midst, but we got to come to him. So let's take time to respond this morning. The altar will be open. I'll be here for prayer, but let's take time to respond. Father, as we come to this time of commitment, it continues to be a time of dedication. Father, we're wanting to dedicate ourselves to you, just as we dedicated these children, just as Hannah dedicated her son. Father God, may we be found faithful, offering ourselves up to you as instruments in the hands of a righteous and mighty God. Lord, this world is spiraling down into a dark place of hell and separation from you. You've given us the entrustment of a message that is freeing, that Lord God has called good news. May we be found faithful stewards of that message. It's to your glory, Father, we pray. Move us from where we are to where you want us to be. In the name of Jesus, amen.